بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our first session, Medina Book 3. And today, inshallah, and we're going to do the first lesson, which basically is a review of a lot of the things that have been already covered in Book 1 and 2. And along with that, there will be other matters that we didn't have in Book 1 and Book 2. Matters that we're not really going to cover thoroughly in this chapter, but that will be covered in the future chapters. Meaning that, in this first chapter, we'll find matters that have already been covered previously in Book 1 and 2, and matters that are going to be covered in Book 3. And all of them are brought together, yani, in a summary fashion, to give you an overview of the important matters related to Arabic language. Some of it we already covered, and the rest we're going to cover. Also, it should be said that this Book 3, unlike Book 1 and 2, is really supposed to be taken in two levels. Yani, Book 1 is for the first level in the Medina program, Mustawa al-Awwal. And Book 2 is for the second level, Mustawa al-Thani. And Book 3 is for the third and fourth level. So actually, Book 3 can be divided in half, because in the third level, what is covered is actually the first 17 lessons. Yani, in Medina, the first 17 lessons, not the whole book. And then in the fourth level, the rest of the lessons, that the chapters that follow, are covered. So this book, why the author placed it in one book instead of in two, I don't know. But the way he taught it is that he taught the first 17 lessons, approximately, in the third level, and the rest of the book in the fourth level. So it's really, first book one and two is for one semester each, and book three is for the whole year. It's covered in 1 year. Of course, 1 year of 5 days a week, 5 hours a day. Huh? So, I mean, don't expect to cover book three in 1 year, unless we're going to do 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Or at least 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Or something like that, some kind of combination. Alright, so inshallah, we're going to try to go through the first half of the book, first 17 chapters. And then, you know, probably we'll do a review. And then we'll go on, yani, the way it is done in Medina, and do the second half separately. Yani, separate. Okay, most of what is in the second half is related to verbs, yani, the forms of the verbs. And after the first form, fa'ala, yani, I think in the first half of the book, the second form of the verb, fa'ala, and fa'ala is covered. And then the rest of the other forms are covered in the second half of the book. And that's how it's done in Medina. So, yani, there's a lot of matters related to sarf in the first half of the book, and more in the second half. But, yani, the bulk of the verbs and things are in the second half of the book. Although there's some material in the first half. And again, yani, although, yani, we said it already, but let me just remind myself that our intention, inshallah, we should make an effort to strive and make sure that our intention is sincere for the sake of Allah. And we should remind ourselves as we're doing this that there is indeed a greater reward if, yani, our heart is, yani, focused upon doing it for the sake of Allah, that there's a reward with Allah and there's a benefit for us in the next life with Allah. That our objective in studying Arabic is for, yani, the purpose of enabling ourselves or qualifying ourselves or equipping ourselves to be able to get near to Allah and to worship Him better and to understand this book, the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we can worship Him in a better manner. If our intention, like, is clear and focused on this, then inshallah the reward will be greater than if the reward, and then if our intention is just to learn Arabic for the sake of Arabic, yani learning Arabic like you learn Spanish or French or some other language. And there's no doubt that, and if you have reached this level, then obviously, yani, you are somewhat serious if you have already reached to this level. But most people, they don't get this far. Most of the people, they don't finish the first book. Or if they do, they don't finish the second book. So, I mean, it shows that there's some diligence involved here, if you have gotten this far. And be consistent. You know, I encourage you to work harder than you have been working. I don't know how hard you've been working, but we can always do better. You can always do better. There's no doubt about it. Work harder and be more consistent and diligent and ask Allah's help and recognize that whatever you have achieved, it is a favor from Allah. And whatever you will achieve in the future, that's also a favor from Allah. And all of it, yani, requires that we have help from Allah. So ask Allah's help sincerely. And then, yani, appreciate it. If Allah has given you something, show your gratitude by using it in the way that's pleasing to Him. You know, I can't say enough the importance, because of what I have seen in years, and in the last 25 years or more, the inconsistency that I have seen amongst Muslims in this country, wherever they may be from. And of course, yani, people from different communities, different cultures, are different, yani, from a cultural perspective. But to a great extent, we have not been very consistent in learning the Arabic language. And for that reason, we don't find that a lot of people in America, like in other countries, a lot of people in America don't know Arabic. A lot of Muslims, I mean, don't know Arabic. I mean, the majority of the Muslims don't know Arabic. In other countries, lots of people know Arabic. They're not Arab countries I'm talking about. Non-Arabic speaking countries. And people know Arabic. But in America, very few people know Arabic. So hopefully, you know, you will be from those, yani, from amongst the few that do know Arabic, not from amongst the many that don't know anything. And it's not acceptable, really. I mean, how can a person be a Muslim and you can't read the Quran? You can't open up the Mus'haf and read the Quran. How can you be a Muslim? I'm not saying you're not a Muslim. I mean, the person who's not a Muslim is saying, but how can you accept to be a Muslim and you can't open the book of Allah and read it? That you can't hear the Quran being recited and understand it? That's not even acceptable. To a person who loves Allah, you want to hear the book of Allah and understand what you're hearing. You want to read the book of Allah and understand what you're reading. You want it to affect your heart. And in order for it to affect your heart fully, you have to understand. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, that this is absolutely the key to the khushu' in the salat and in your worship. That is understanding the meaning of what you are reciting or what you're hearing. Naam. It's for Abdulaziz. Yeah, but if I forget, don't blame me. You're responsible, not to me. Tayyib. Alright, so let's try and to make our intention pure for the sake of Allah and ask Allah to help us. And I need to understand well so we can get the fuller benefit. Okay, let's look at the English key in the back of the book. And normally what we're going to start with is reviewing what we covered previously and take any questions, and then we're going to read the English key and the text or dialogue in the beginning of a chapter and then do the exercises. Okay, since this is our first lesson, we're just going to go straight to the English key in the back of the book. I don't know if you're reading from a book or you're reading from something you downloaded. Some people have, what do you call those things? Tablets. Huh? Tablets, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Smartphones and stuff like that. In any case, if you're reading from a book, then if it's the book, the one that we recommend it, or one close to it, then the English key should be in the back of the book. And that English key basically covers this first chapter. Okay, so we're going to read it and try to explain some things in English, and then we're going to read it in Arabic. Then we're going to read in Arabic, and we're going to do the exercises from the Arabic text, okay? All right, so I guess it's page one of a long, long, detailed key here. Allah Musta'an, I think I'm going to have to sit down. Not going to be able to stand this one. If you have any questions, stop me anywhere. If it's something that's going to be covered in book 3, I'm not going to explain it in detail. We're going to cover it in a chapter. If it's something that we covered before, then it's necessary that we stop and work it out until it's clear to us, okay? Because we can't go on if we don't have the foundation from what preceded. Okay, it says, Lesson 1, in this lesson we learn two things. A, the declension of nouns, and B, the moods of verbs. Yani, I guess they mean by declension of nouns, yani, the case endings, the i'rab, the changes that take place in a noun. Due to its position, its grammatical position in a sentence, it may change. If it's the mubtada or the khabar or the fa'il or the maf'ulun bi or whatever is its position grammatically in the sentence, and the case ending of the word changes from Dhamma to Kasra to Fatha, from primary, signs of I'rab, and then there are secondary signs that it may change. Okay, so they talk about the nouns, how they change. Declension of nouns, how the endings of the nouns change. As far as the verbs, moods, they said that this is the English word that they use for the changes of the verb, due to its position or use, the mudari verb, the fi'l amra and the fi'l madi, is mabniun, so it doesn't really make these changes, but the mudari verb, we know that it changes, from yaktubu to len yaktuba to lem yaktub, so on. It changes from dhamma to fatta to sukoon and so on, with other types of changes. So these are the two things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about nouns first, and then we're going to talk about verbs. Probably the verbs will take probably next week, and today we may just talk about the nouns. Everything that's related to nouns here. Okay? Everything that's related to nouns. So this is A, declension of nouns. We have already seen in part 1 and 2, in book 1 and 2, that most Arabic nouns are declinable. They are mu'rab. Most Arabic nouns are mu'rab, declinable. That is, they indicate their function in the sentence by their endings. These endings are three. Okay? We've already seen that most Arabic nouns, not all, but most of them are mu'rab. So some of them are not mu'rab. That will mean they will be what? They will be mabniyun. Okay? Most Arabic nouns are mu'rab, but there are some which are not mu'rab, that don't have these changing endings, but they remain fixed, mabniyun. So, those that do change, that are mu'rab, declinable, they indicate their function in the sentence by their endings. The endings changing from fatr, kasr, dhamma, and so on. So, these endings are three. They are the dhamma. These are the endings of the word nouns. That the change is indicated by the vowel ending, fatha or kasra or dhamma. There are other changes that take place in nouns, other types of changes that are not indicated by the vowel ending, but rather they're indicated by the letter before the last letter. Like wow or yeah. And you say muslimuna, muslimina. Okay, so the change is indicated not by a vowel, it's indicated by a letter, by wow or yeah or aleph, before the last letter of the word. Alright, so these are two different kinds of ways that the i'rab of the word is indicated. Either the primary indications are the vowel endings, fatha, kasra, and dhamma, but there are secondary signs of i'rab that are not by fatha, kasra, and dhamma. Rather, in duals and in plurals and in other type of words, there's different changes that take place to indicate, is it marfu'un or mansubun or majrurun. Okay? So we just want to keep that in mind, that here what they're talking about the primary signs or indications of the i'rab, of the function of a word in a sentence. Is it marfu'un, or is it mansubun, or is it majrurun? So the primary signs are three. They are the dhamma, to indicate the nominative case, ar-raf'u. The nominative case is ar-raf'u. A word, if it's in the nominative case, ar-raf, then we say that word is marfu'un. A noun with this ending is called marfu'un. The second sign of the ending that indicates the i'rab of a word is the fatha, to indicate the accusative case, and nasbu. A noun with this ending is called mansubun. And the third one is the kasra, to indicate the genitive case, al-jarru. A noun with this ending is called majrurun. Alright, so we have dhamma, fatha, and kasra. And we have three cases, ar-raf'u, an-nasbu, and ajarru. And the word that is in any one of these cases is called marfu'un, or mansubun, or majrurun. And these expressions are mandatory to understand and to learn, how to apply them. It's very important in understanding the function of a word in a sentence, and therefore its proper meaning. It's very important to know, is that word in the nominative case, marfu'un, or in the genitive case, majrurun, because it's following a preposition, or in the accusative case mansubun, because it's the ism inna, or because it's the maf'ulun bi, and so on. It's important to understand these matters. Yani, this is one whole side of the Arabic language, the grammar. And the other part of it that is equally important is the vocabulary, knowing the meanings of words. And both of them go together. Either one without the other, yani, can make you ineffective in understanding the language. Okay, here's an example of how these words change and the indications change from dhamma to fatha to kasra, depending on the function of the word in the sentence. Here's an example. Dakhala al-mudarrisu. The teacher entered. Dakhala al-mudarrisu. The teacher entered. Here, al-mudarrisu is marfu'un, because it is the fa'il. Because it is the fa'il. So in this sentence, you have dakhala and you have al-mudarrisu. Dakhala is the fa'il and al-mudarrisu is the fa'il. Dakhala is the action and yani al-mudarris is the doer of the action. The fa'il, the one who's doing that action. Alright? Second example. Sa'altu al-mudarrisa wa fatha. I asked the teacher. Here al-mudarrisa is mansubun. Al-mudarrisa wa fatha is mansubun because it is the object. Yani the object of the verb. Al-maf'ulu bihi. Yani in this sentence, al-mudarris is not the doer of the action. Rather, in the second sentence, al-mudarrisa is the one receiving the action. The object of the action, the maf'ulun bihi. That action is happening to the mudarris. Instead of the mudarris doing the action is happening to him. Okay, so the person said what? Sa'altu al-mudarrisa. Yani somebody asked, who did they ask? They asked the teacher. The question fell upon the teacher. So the teacher is the maf'ulun bihi. And the maf'ulun bi is always mansub. And here, from the primary signs of a word being mansub, is that it ends with fatha. The third example is هذه سيارة المدرس with كسرة. This is the teacher's car. Or, this is the car of the teacher. The car of the teacher. Here, المدرس is majrurun because it is mudafun ilayhi. Because it is mudafun ilayhi. So, sayaratul mudarrisi is an idafa construction. Yani, two words that are put together in a construction showing a relationship between them. And it could be a relationship of ownership. Or it could be a relationship of something being a part of something else. Yani, sayaratul mudarris shows that the mudarris owns the sayara. Babul Bayt shows that the house owns the door? No. Shows that they have a relationship. The door is part of the house. Or Ibn Muhammad doesn't show that Muhammad owns his son. He does not own him. No. Even though some people may think that. It's a showing relationship of father and son, of husband and wife, of brother and sister like this. Okay? So the idafa construction shows us different types of relationships. It could be ownership, but not always. Possession could be, but not always. Shows other kinds of relationships too. Usually, that relationship can be easily translated by of. The door of the house. The car of the teacher. The son of Muhammad. Or you could say Muhammad's son. But in any case, and it's easy to translate it in this manner. This is al-idafa. So here in this example, هذه سيارة المدرس. سيارة is the مضافن, and مدرس is مضافن إليه. The مضافن إليه is always مجرور. The sign that it's مجرور here is كسرة. كسرة. Now, these endings, ضم فتحة and كسرة, are called the primary endings. يعني علامة الإعراب الأصلية. الأصلية is from أصل. Means the origin, the foundation. Okay? So these are the primary endings, yani the primary, or you can say fundamental or foundation or original endings. Primary endings. Alamat al-Irab means the signs of Irab. The signs of Irab, yani the sign that indicates from the change in the end of that word its function. Is it the fa'il or the maf'ulun bi? Is it a mubtada or a khabar? Is it following? Is it the object of a verb or the object of a preposition? That ending tells you about its function. And these are the alamat al-asliya. Al-alamat al-asliya, meaning the primary endings or primary signs of i'rab. There are other endings also which are called the secondary endings. Alamat al-i'rab al-far'iyya. Okay? Al-asliya is from al-asl and al-far'iyya is from al-far. Al-far means what? The branch of something. Yani the asl, the foundation, and the far is a branch. Like the asl, the foundation of the tree, and then it has a far. Yani it has a branch that comes out from that asl. So the fatha, kasra, and dhamma are the primary, fundamental, yani markings that indicate i'rab. And there are other signs of i'rab that are called, yani far'iyya, that we will come to as we go along. Okay, so these are the primary and they're also secondary, which we will see in certain types of words. The following groups of nouns have these endings. Have these endings. Meaning what? Alamat al-far'iyya. The secondary endings. Okay? Most nouns have the primary endings. Fatha, kasra, or dhamma. So if you see a fatha, you know it's mansub. If you see a kasra, you know it's majrur. If you see a dhamma, you know it's marfu'un. But there are some words, some groups of words that have secondary endings other than fatha, kasra, and dhamma. And these following groups are groups, yani types of words that have secondary endings. And we have mentioned here five different groups of words that have secondary endings. Alright? Does anybody know what these groups of words are? Five. What are the five groups of words that have secondary endings? Yani the i'rab of the word is not determined by the last vowel on the last letter, fatha, kasra, or dhamma. Okay, al-asma al-khamsa. Al-asma al-khamsa. Okay, we'll come to that. That's one. What else? Jammu annath salam. Naam, the sound feminine plurals. Also? Jammu dhakar salam. The sound masculine plurals. Al-mamnu min al-sarf. Words that are mamnu min al-sarf. That don't make full changes. Jam taksir depends. No, but it's not a group from this group that's automatically having a different type of ending. But the last one is the muthanna. Duals. Yani the duals, the sound masculine plurals, sound feminine plurals, mamnu min al-sarf, and al-asma al-khamsa. So these five groups of words, all of them have secondary endings. Secondary endings. Yani the ending, the end of the vowel at the end of the word is not the indication of it being marfu'un or mansub or majrur. Rather, there's some other kind of indication, like a alif, a waw, or a ya, like this. Alright? Or, it may be that it may be indicated by a vowel, but not the normal vowel that we see as these primary indications. Like in the feminine sound plural, if it is mansub, the sign that is mansub is not fatha, has a secondary sign. Okay, the sign that the feminine sound plural, if it is mansub, instead of fatha, it takes kasra. And the opposite is the mamnu min al-sarf. When it is majrur, it doesn't take kasra, but rather it takes fatha. Alright, let's look at these five types of words that have secondary indications or endings. Alamat al-i'rab al-far'iyya. The first of them, it says, A, the sound feminine plural. Jam'u al-mu'annithi as-salim. Wa alaykum as-salam. Jam'u al-mu'annithi as-salimu. Why is it as-salimu? Jam'u al-mu'annithi as-salimu. Huh? It's a not for what though? It's a not for jam. For jam. Mu'annith is majrur with kasra. And salim is marfu'un with dhamma. It's a not describing jam. Tayyib. Alaykum salam. This is the first group. The sound feminine plural. Jam mu'annith salim. Only the nasb ending Oh, I'm sorry. This page is a little bit messed up. Only the nasb ending is different in this group. Only when it is mansoob, its ending is different from this group of the sound feminine plural. It takes kasra when it is mansoob instead of fatha. The other endings are normal. Yani when it's marfoon, it takes dhamma. When it's majroor, it takes kasra. But the difference here is only when it's mansoob, instead of taking fatha, it takes kasra. So for the sound feminine plural, there's just one, deviation from the norm here. That is when it's mansoob. Instead of taking fatha, it takes kasra. So they give us the example on the next page too. سألت المديرتي المدرساتي المدرساتي سألت المديرة المدرساتي. The headmistress asked the female teachers. Okay, if we look at this sentence, we see المدرسات in this sentence. Is it a مبتدا or a خبر or what? Or a فاعل or what? It's maf'ulun bi. Maf'ulun bi. And the maf'ulun bi is supposed to be what? Mansoob. And the sign, the normal sign for a word that's mansoob is what? Fatha. But here it's taking kasra. Why is it taking kasra? Because it's sound, feminine plural. When it's mansoob, it takes kasra instead of fatha. Sa'alat al-mudiratu al-mudarrisat. Yani, the female headmistress, the headmistress, she asked the teachers. Okay? So, the maf'ulun bi is the teachers, al-mudarrisat, and it's mansoob, but the sign that it's mansoob is kasra instead of fatha. Here, al-mudarrisati takes kasra instead of fatha because it is sound feminine plural. Note that in this group, the nasb, yani mansoob ending, is the same as the jar, majroor ending. Note that when it is mansoob, the ending is kasra, just like when it's majroor, the ending is kasra. So in that case, if the ending is going to be the same when it's mansoob and majroor, a person has to pay attention. When you see a sound feminine plural, and you see that it takes kasra, you're not really sure that it's majroor. It could be mansoob, because it has the same ending when it's mansoob and majroor. So you have to pay attention. In this sentence, is there something making it majroor, or is there something making it mansoob? If it was majroor, it would mean that what? What would make it majroor? That it's the object of a preposition. Or it could be mudafan ilay. If you don't see something that's making it majroor, don't assume that it's majroor because of kasra. But rather, you have to think. It could be mansoob. Okay? Other than that, the matter is simple. Pay attention. Be alert. That's it. Okay, for example, to show you that the endings are the same for mansoob and majroor, they gave two examples. Ra'aytu as-sayyarati. I saw the cars. Here, sayyarati is mansoob because it is the object, the maf'ulun bi. Huh? And it's mansoob, but it has kasra. In the second sentence, kharaja an-nasu min as-sayyarati. The people came out of the cars. Here, as-sayyarati is majroor in this case because it is preceded by a preposition. It's the object of a preposition. But in both cases, the same word is ending with kasra, one indicating that it's mansoob and the other indicating that it is majroor. So a person has to pay attention to this. Any question? Naam, Musa. It has a one where? Okay, it says this word should be pronounced as sayyarati. For the sake of uniformity, I write the definite article al, regardless of whether the next letter is lunar or solar. Meaning that some people, when they transliterate, when they write Arabic words with English letters, for the definite article they write l all the time, just to be uniform. even though, rightly so, you can't say El Sayara. You write Aleph Lam, but you don't pronounce the Lam, right? Because if the first letter of a word is from the Huruf Shamsiyah, then the Lam is not pronounced, but rather the Harf Shamsi is doubled with Shadda, and therefore instead of pronouncing the Lam is merged by Idgham into the scene. Instead of El Sayara, you say Es Sayara, right? Instead of saying El Rahman, we don't say El Rahman, we say Ar Rahman. Alright? So he's just saying here that they are writing in the transliteration L, even though it's not really L. But for the sake of uniformity, or whatever, I mean, they are using it like that. Alright? So we don't really care about that, because we're going to read in Arabic anyway, right? So when you see here, L Sayyara, As Sayyarati is Majroor, then really it should be As Sayyarati. In any case, they can say L, no problem. People do like that. In English, they sometimes use L even when it's supposed to be. It's not correct in terms of the actual pronunciation of the Arabic word. You can't say in Arabic, El Sayyara. You can't, that's wrong, absolutely. He's saying for uniformity. We just want to put L on every word, no matter if the letter after is Harf Shams or Harf, any otherwise. Al-Huruf al-Shamsiyah, Huruf Kamariyah, they don't make any distinction between them. They just put an L for uniformity. I mean, they want to just use L all the time. I mean, what is the benefit? Allahu A'lam. I don't know. But, it's not really of concern to us because we're going to be reading Arabic anyway, right? Okay. Any question about the sound feminine plural? Sound feminine plural takes the proper endings like any other nouns in terms of when it is marfu'un and when it is majrurun, but when it's mansub, instead of taking fatha, it takes kasra. So this is called a secondary ending. Alamat al-i'rab al-fara'iyya. Fara'iyya? Where are you reading it? Ra'aytu. Ra'aytu. What? Okay, I see it now. What about it? Okay, ra'a is the fa'il, right? And the fa'il is the dhamir too. And sayarat maf'ulun bi, naam. From which alif? I don't get it. I still don't understand the question, I'm sorry. The secondary sign is the kesra, sayarati. Secondary sign is kesra. Because the normal sign for the maf'ulun bi should be fatha. So in this case, for the sound feminine plural, instead of fatha, it's kesra. That means that's the secondary sign. That's not the primary sign. The primary sign for mansub is fatha. But here we don't have the primary sign. We have a different sign, so this is from the secondary signs. That's special for certain types of words. Is it good? Okay. Sayarata. Sayarati. But sayarata, yani if it was mansub, you wouldn't say sayarata, because we don't use that for the sound feminine plural, but rather you say sayarati. No. Okay, B, the diptote, yani al-mamnu' min al-sarf. Al-mamnu' min al-sarf. In this group, the jar, yani when the word is majrur ending, is fatha instead of kasra. Yani the opposite of the sound feminine plurals, the mamnu' min al-sarf word, when it is majroor, instead of taking kasra, it takes fatha. Alright? For example, هذا كتاب زينب. هذا كتاب زينب. Huh? This is Zainab's book, or this is the book of Zainab. Here, زينب has fatha instead of kasra because it is a diptote, because it is mamnu' min al-sarf. Otherwise, كتاب زينب should be كتاب زينبي. Because kitab and zainab is an idhafa construction. So the mudhaf ilayhi is majroor. And the sign that is majroor, primary sign is kasra. But here we see a fatha. And that's because, yani the words that when they are mamnum and a sarf, whenever they are majroor, instead of the primary sign of jar, which is kasra, it's going to take a secondary sign, which here is fatha. Okay? So, for example, and then they said, note that in this group, the jar ending is the same as the nasb ending. Yani, when it is majroor and when it is mansub, they have the same ending. When they are majroor and when they are mansoob, in both cases they have fatha. For example, Sa'altu Zainaba. I asked Zainab. Here Zainaba is mansoob because it is maf'ulun bi. It's mansoob. So fatha is correct. We know mansoob takes fatha, right? But the second example, Zahabtu ila Zainaba. I went to Zainab. Here Zainaba has fatha, but it's not mansoob, it's majroor because it is preceded by a preposition. But yet in both cases, when it's the maf'ulun bi or it's the ism majroor following a preposition, in both cases it's having the same ending. Because mamnu' min as-sarf, when it's majroor, it doesn't take kasra, but rather takes fatha just the same as it takes if it's mansoob. Wa alaykum as-salam. So the case ending here, when it's mansoob and majroor, is the same. Alright, so this is the mamnu' min as-sarf. These two, maybe he brought them together because they're opposites of each other. They're the opposites of each other. The sound feminine plural and the mamnu' min as-sarf, both of them have two primary signs, and then the third one is not what it's supposed to be. Alright, so try to keep that in mind when you see a word that's mamnu' min as-sarf, it doesn't take kasra if it's majroor. And when you see a sound feminine plural, it doesn't take fatha when it's mansoob. It takes kasra. And that's it, really. That's all that it is to it. And some of this we already saw, but we didn't, Annie, maybe go into the details concerning it. Okay, the fifth, or the third one, the third of these five, group of five different types of nouns that have secondary signs of i'rab, are the five nouns. Al-asma'u al-khamsatu. Al-asma'u al-khamsatu. These are abun, akhun, hamun, famun, and dhu. These nouns take the secondary endings only when they are mudafun. That's the first condition, that they have to be mudafun. And the second condition, and the mudafun ilayhi is not the pronoun of the first person singular. It's not the pronoun of the first person singular. What is the pronoun of the first person singular? Ya al-mutakallim. The ya that indicates the first person singular, the one who is speaking. First person singular. Ya al-mutakallim. Yani, in other words, they are saying here that this rule concerning the five nouns, al-asma al-khamsa, concerning these five words, these nouns have secondary endings only with these two conditions. When they are mudafun, yani they're the first part of idafa construction, and when the mudafun ilayhi, the words that's connected to it, is not the pronoun of the first person singular. If it is not mudafun, or it's mudafun but it's mudaf to a first, to the pronoun of the first person singular, this rule is not applicable. In that case, if it doesn't meet these two conditions, if it doesn't have these two things, then these five words are like other nouns in Arabic language. Their endings are fatha, kasra, and dhamma, like any other noun. But they have secondary endings only in this case, when they are mudafun, first, and secondly, the mudaf ilayhi has to be anything except ya al-mutakallim. The ya that indicates the first person speaker. Meaning the pronoun, if it's connected to a pronoun that is the first person speaker, then in that case, this rule is not applicable. This rule is not applicable. So there are two things that we're looking at here. We're looking at, yani, this rule of these five nouns having secondary endings, but only when they're in idafa. And the word that they're in idafa to cannot be the ya al-mutakallim, the first person singular pronoun. Alright, so let's look at it in some detail here. Let's look at it and see, yani, what does all of this mean, and see some examples so that it becomes clear to us. What are they actually talking about? In this group, the rafa ending, when it's marfoon, is waw. And the nasb ending, when it's mansoob, is alif. And the jar ending, when it is majroor, is ya. What this actually means is that these asma al-khamsa, if they are an idafa, and they are not an idafa to ya al-mutakallim, then the sign of it being marfoon is, instead of dhamma, it's elongating the dhamma with waw. If it is mansoob, instead of the sign that it's mansoob being fatha, you elongate the fatha with alif. Which is how you normally elongate fatha with alif, right? If it is majroor, instead of it being kasra, we just elongate the vowel, kasra, with ya. So the Asma al Khamsa, the sign of the Arab, is similar to the primary signs, Fatha, Kasra, and Dhamma, except that the primary sign has to be elongated. Fatha with Aleph, Kasra with Ya, and Dhamma with Waw. So it's almost as though they have the primary signs, except that the primary sign, the vowel, has to be elongated. So the letter that is munasib to that vowel is the letter that's going to be the sign of its i'rab. So if it normally, if it was mansub and we say that the sign is mansub is fatta, then it's not going to be fatta, but it's going to be what letter goes with fatta? Aleph. If it's majroor, instead of saying the sign that's majroor is kasra, we're not going to say it's kasra, but the sign that's majroor is what?
Yeah.
And if it's marfu'un, instead of dhamma being the sign of being majroor is going to be wow. That's it. That's it. But this is what? It has to be an idafa. It has to be mudafun. And it cannot be an idafa with ya al-mutakallam, the first person singular pronoun, representing I or my. Okay? So let's look at the examples. ماذا قال أبو بلال؟ ماذا قال أبو بلال؟ What did Bilal's father say? Notice in this sentence, Abu is an idafa to Bilal, right? And it's not an idafa to the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallam. So we're good to go here, right? So note that, note it is Abu, elongating the Dhamma with waw, with a waw, not Abu, with just Dhamma. Okay, Abu here in this sentence, it's marfu'un, right? It's marfu'un. Why is it marfu'un? Because it's the fa'il of qala. Qala Abu. Abu Bilal. So it's the fa'il. And the fa'il is always marfu'un. And the sign that is marfu'un normally would be dhamma. Because it's from asma al-khamsa, instead of it being dhamma, it's wow. That's it. That's it. That's it. Second example. Arifu Aba Bilalin. I know Bilal's father. Note that it is Aba with alif, not Aba with just a fatta. Because Aba in this sentence, A'rifu, I'm saying this now, because Aba in the sentence, A'rifu Aba Bilalin, what is the i'rab of Aba? Maf'ulun bi. A'rifu Aba Bilalin. It's the maf'ulun bi, and the maf'ulun bi is always mansub. And the sign that is normally mansub, the sign of the mansub normally is fatta, but because it's from Asma al-Khamsa, it's alif. I mean, I think that's simple enough. I think. Who am I to say, right? Okay, before I turn the page, I noticed here, I just saw that there's a note here, which I didn't pay attention to. There's a note number 2. I didn't pay attention to either of these notes, but Musa brought to our attention note number 1. Note number 2 says, Alham means the male relative of the husband, such as his brother and his father. Alham. So that's a note in reference to the Asma al-Khamsa. Abun, Akhun, Hamun, Famun, and Dhu. They're just making a note here. I didn't actually even pay attention to that. Okay, let's turn the page and see another example. Zahabtu ila Abi Bilalin. Zahabtu ila Abi Bilalin. I went to Bilal's father, or the father of Bilal. Note it is Abi with a ya, not Abi. Huh? And the reason for this, in this sentence, is because Abi is what? It's ism majroor, because it's preceded by a harf jar, preposition ila. So it became majroor, and the sign that it's majroor would normally be kasra, but in this case, because it's from asma al-khamsa, it is ya. Okay, a new point, and these are examples of how these five, all of them are working basically in the same way, for the most part, except fem, but we'll come to that. For the most part, all of them working in the same way. Okay, if it's the object of a preposition, the sign that's majroor is ya. If it's the object of a verb, the sign that's mansub is alif. If it's the subject of the sentence, or the khabar, or the fa'il, then the sign that it's marfoon is wow. Here it says, the mudafun ilayhi can be a pronoun. What if the mudafun, in all these examples, the mudafun ilayhi was a regular noun, a ism zahir. But what if the mudafun ilayhi is a pronoun, a dhamir? Then let's see what happens. the mudafun ilayhi can be a pronoun. For example, Aina Zahaba Akhuka. Aina Zahaba Akhuka. Where did your brother go? Here in this sentence, Akhuka, what is its I'rab? Akhu, say that again. I heard two different answers. Give me one of them, somebody. Akhu. It's the fa'il, and the fa'il is always marfu'un. So the sign that it's marfu'un on normal words is dhamma, but here from Asma al-Khamsa it is what? Wow. But here we see that the mudafun ilayhi, it is an idafa, that's a condition, but the mudafun ilayhi here is a pronoun. And that's not really a problem. Not a problem that it's a pronoun. Unless the pronoun is what? Ya al-mutakallam, the first person singular pronoun. That is where the problem would come. Otherwise, normal pronouns, it would work the same way as if these five words are an idafa to any other noun. If then an idafa to a pronoun, it works really the same way, except that that pronoun that's attached to akhu, the i'rab of it, we will say it's mudafun ilayhi, but not majrur. We will say what? Mabniyun. Because all pronouns are mabniyun. They are not mu'rab. The endings don't change. They remain the same. So in this case, we would say akhuka, akhu is the fa'il marfu'un, and ka is mudafun ilayhi mabniyun in the place where it should be fi mahalli jar. Fi mahalli jar. In the place where it should be majrur. But it's not majrur, it's mabniyun. It's fixed, it remains the same. It doesn't matter if it's the mudafun ilayhi, or it doesn't matter if it is the object of a verb. Like somebody says, ra'aytu ka. Here it is mansub, but it doesn't change, it's still ka. Akhu ka is majrur, it's ka. Ra'aytuka is mansub, it's still ka. So we see that the pronoun doesn't change. That's why we say it's mabniyun. But it's in the place where it should be majrur, or in the place where it should be mansub, and so on. Alright? I don't know, I have a watch here somewhere. But I didn't change the time on my watch. Little bit of rebellion. Naam. Alright. Okay. Zakallah khair. I hate changing these times. This is a game these people are playing. It's nonsense. Tayyib. What can you do? You live here, you're subject to it. So what can you do? Can you do anything? Can't do anything? What about Hijra? Get out of here. Allah open the way for us. Yani, this is required. Yani, Allah has made it obligatory on the Muslims to make hijrah from the land of Kufar. It's obligatory. It's not optional. Allah, it's obligatory. I always say, just read Yani Surah An-Nisa. When you get to 97, 98, 99, stop, go back to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and read a little bit of it. It will become crystal clear. Doesn't leave any doubt whatsoever. طيب, second example they gave, ما رأيت أخاك. I did not see your brother. أخاك. In this sentence, أخا is what? المفعول بي. And the sign that it is, يعني مفعول بي is منسوب. The sign that it's منسوب is ألف, because it's from the أسماء الخمسة. Third example, ما اسم أخيك. What is your brother's name? What is the name of your brother? What is the name of your brother? Here, أخي is what? مضافن إليه مجرور. The sign that it's مجرور is? Yeah, because it's from أسماء الخمسة. I think that is clear, okay? So, what we're saying here is that the مضافن إليه to one of these names from the أسماء الخمسة could be a pronoun too. It still works the same way. Unless that pronoun is يا المتكلم. So, here it says, if the مضافن إليه is a pronoun, is the pronoun of the first person singular. First person singular, I. The noun remains unchanged. Meaning, alaykum salam, meaning that in this case, we're not going to see the same change that we normally see in the Asma al-Khamsa. We're not going to see it changing to Wow and Aleph and other changes, but rather Ya al-Mutakallam, this Ya that represents the first person singular, Ana, has to always be preceded by Kasra. So whenever you attach Ya al-Mutakallam to a word, khalas, the vowel of that word has to end with Kasra. You can't put any other vowel on it. It has to be Kasra. Ya al-Mutakallam has to be preceded by Kasra. Alright? It's always going to be E, Akhi, Abi, Ummi. Doesn't matter if it's Marfoon, Majroorun, or Mansoobun. It's going to remain Abi, Akhi. Yani, whenever it's attached to Ya al-Mutakallam. So, in this case, for example, yani the noun remains unchanged. So, for example, they said three examples. Yadrusu Akhi bil Jamiati. My brother is studying at the university. Or my brother studies at the university. In this sentence, Akhi or Akh in this sentence is, what is this I'rab? It's the fa'il of Yadrusu. And the fa'il is Marfu'un. And the sign that is Marfu'un is Dhamma. But from the Asma al-Khamsa, it should be Wow. But we don't see a Wow here, we see Akhi. So it doesn't change because why it's attached to Ya al-Mutakallam, the first person singular pronoun. Second example, A'rifu Akhi. Or A'ta'rifu. I'm sorry, I'm half blind here and my print is not clear. A'ta'rifu Akhi. Do you know my brother? Here in this sentence, Akh, in this sentence is what? It's the maf'ulun bi, mansub, and the normal sign should be fatta, but in this case, because it's attached to ya, mutakallam remains as kasra ya. A'rifu akhi. Ata'rifu akhi. And the last example, khudh al-unwana min akhi. Take the address from my brother, and in this sentence, akh is majroor because of min, the harf ja min, and the sign that it's majroor is kasra, but because it's from Asma al-Khamsa, it should be Ya. But we don't see a Ya here. Or do we see a Ya here? Not a Ya from I'rab. That Ya is the pronoun, Ya al-Mutakallam. That Ya is representing the pronoun Ana. That's not a Ya that's elongating the Kasra because it is Majroor. Rather, that Ya is the pronoun Ana. So it remains Akhi in all of these cases. In the first case, it's Marfoon. In the second case, it's Mansoob. And in the third case, it's majroor, but it doesn't change when it's connected to Ya al-Mutakallam. Is it clear? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it clear? Yeah, akh is the fa'il of yadrus. And it should be marfu'un. And it is marfu'un, but we don't see the sign here because it's attached to Ya al-Mutakallam. Ata'arifu akhi. Akh in that case is the maf'ulun bi mansub, na'am. In the third case, min akhi, akh is majroor. But it remains the same because it's attached to ya al-mutakallam. Okay, one more point here that they mention concerning these asma al-khamsa. One of them in particular, the word femun, which means mouth, can be used in two ways. Meaning, you have an option to use it in one of these two ways. You can use it with the meem from the original word fem, or you can use it without the meem from the original word fem. But when used with the meem, if you keep the meem on it, it is declined with the primary endings. Meaning like a normal, any other noun. Fatta, kasra, dhamma. If you keep the meem, it's declined with the primary endings. It doesn't have the rule of the Asma al-Khamsa if you keep the meem on it. But rather, it takes the rule of the Asma al-Khamsa. While it's the indication of it is I'rab is wow, alif or ya, if you remove the meem. But if you use it with the meem, and that's optional, you can do it either way. If you keep the meem, then the sign of its I'rab is going to be the normal primary signs of I'rab, fatha, kasra, and dhamma. Alright, so here it says what? The word fem can be used in two ways, with meem and without it. When used with the meem, it is declined with the primary endings, fatha, kasra, and dhamma. For example, Femuka nadhifun, your mouth is clean. In this example, fem, what is its I'rab? It's the mubtada, and the mubtada is marfu'un, and the sign is marfu'un is dhamma, not wow. Why? Because you kept the meme here. So now it becomes like a normal noun in the Arabic language, and it takes Dhamma as the sign of it being marfu'un. In the second sentence, iftah famaka. Iftah famaka. Open your mouth. Here in this sentence, fam is what? Mafulun bi. Mansub, and the sign is mansub, is fatah, like any normal noun in Arabic, because you retained the meme. And in the third example, mada fi famika. Mada fi famika. What is in your mouth? Here, fam is majroor because of harf jar fi, and the sign that it's majroor is kasra, like any other noun, as long as you retain the meme. Alright? So this word from the Asma al-Khamsa, fam, has two ways you can use it. You can retain the meme, in which case it doesn't have the special rule of al-Asma al-Khamsa. It's like any other noun. But if you remove the meme, then it takes on the rule of the Asma al-Khamsa. And if it is marfu'un, it takes waw. If it's mansub, it takes what? Mansub. Asma al-Khamsa. If you remove the meme, it takes alif. And if it is majroor, it takes yeah. The last one, mada fi famika. Fi femi. Naam. Majroor. Harf jar. If the meme is dropped, it is declined like the five nouns, al-asma al-khamsa. Yani if the meme is deleted, if it is removed, now it takes on the role of the asma al-khamsa. Okay? In that case, it will take waw and alif and ya, depending on it being marfu'un or mansub or majroor. So we have three examples here. Your mouth is small. Fuka saghirun. Fuka saghirun. Here in this example, fu is the mubtada. The mubtada is marfu'un. And the sign that is marfu'un is waw, because the meme has been removed. Therefore, it takes on the rule of asma al-khamsa. The second example, ifta faka. Open your mouth. Here, instead of, as in the previous example, ifta famaka, we said ifta faka. Faka. Because when the meme is removed, takes on the rule of asma al-khamsa, it's the object of the verb ifta. Maf'ulun bi, mansub, wa alamatu nasbihi, alif. Alif, not fatta, alif, because it is from the asma al-khamsa. And the last example, mada fi, fika. Mada fi, fika. Mada fi fika. Yani what is in your mouth? Instead of, if you retain the meme, mada fi femika, remove the meme, it becomes mada fi fika. Now it takes on the rule of asma al-khamsa. It's the ism majroor following the preposition fi. And since it's from asma al-khamsa and it is in idhafa, and it is not connected to ya al-mutakallam, the first person singular pronoun, so it takes on the rule of asma al-khamsa, and the sign that is majroor is ya. It's ya, because it's from asma al-khamsa. So, that being said, the five nouns are declined, okay? This is a reminder to us. The five nouns are declined with the special secondary endings only if they are mudafun, as we have seen. Otherwise, if they are not in idhafa, then they are declined with the primary endings, yani the regular endings like other nouns, fatha, kasra, and dhamma. For example, huwa akhun, he is a brother. Huh? Aina al-akhu, where is the brother? Okay, it's not an idhafa here, so it's like a regular word. Huwa akhun, aina al-akhu. Page 4, on the top of the page, we see more examples. That was for marfu'un. Here it is when it is mansub, not in idhafa. Ra'aytu akhan, I saw a brother. Akhan is the maf'ulun bi, mansub, walamatu, nasbihi, fatah, because it's not in idhafa, so it doesn't have the rule of asma al-khamsa here. Sa'altu al-akha, al-akha, sa'altu al-akha, I asked the brother, again, maf'ulun bi, mansub, walamatu, nasbihi, fatah. The third example, هَذَا بَيْتُ أَخٍ. هَذَا بَيْتُ أَخٍ. This is the house of a brother. The house of a brother, or a brother's house. And here again, it's not an idhafa, or it's not mudhafun. It's not mudhafun. It is an idhafa, it's mudhafun ilay. But our condition is what? It has to be the mudhafun. Mudhafun. But here, it's an idhafa, but it's not mudhaf. it is mudafun ilayhi. So if it is not mudaf, it takes on the regular rule of any other noun. So we say that baytu akhin, akhin here is mudafun ilayhi majrur. The sign that it's majrur is kasra. Or in this case, because it is indefinite, has kasratain tanween. This is the house of a brother. And if it was ma'arifa, al akh, we say hadhihi sayaratul akhi. Sayaratul akhi. This is the brother's car. This is the car of the brother. Alright, this is what is mentioned here concerning Asma al-Khamsa. The main thing that you have to remember, Asma al-Khamsa is from five groups of nouns that have secondary endings. But as far as Asma al-Khamsa, those secondary endings, in every case, marfu and mansub and majrur, are dependent on the name, the ism from Asma al-Khamsa has to be the mudafun, the first part of idafa construction, and it must not be connected to a pronoun for the first person singular that represents ana, that is ya al-mutakallim. It can't be an idafa to the pronoun ya al-mutakallim. So if one of these five names from Asma al-Khamsa, if it is the mudafun and it's not connected to ya al-mutakallim, that's when these secondary signs come into play. Instead of dhamma, it takes wow. Instead of kasra, it takes ya. Instead of fatha, it takes what? If I talk too much, you fall asleep. So I have to stop talking and ask you a question. See if you're sleeping or not. Alright? We're racing a little bit. There's a lot of material here. And I don't normally like to go this fast. But like I said in the beginning, if I go too fast, stop me. You know, normally I don't go this fast. But this first lesson is too long. And a lot of it we had already. If it's something brand new, stop me. Or if it's something that you didn't really understand well before, stop me. Don't worry. Stop me. All right? But if you're not in this class, you're just sitting in. I need to hang out with the brothers, be around the Muslims and stuff like that. Don't ask us a lot of questions if you're not really in this class. Meaning, if you don't know what's going on here because you're not supposed to be here, then don't interrupt us too much. But it's okay. You can even ask a question. We don't mind, once in a while. Alright? Okay, five groups of words. What are the first three of them? Five groups of words that have secondary endings. Jam, mu'annath salim, al-mamnu' min al-sarf, and al-asma' al-khamsa. Two more to go, right? Last two. The fourth one, the sound, masculine plural. Jam'u al-mudhakkari al-salimu. Jam al-mudhakkar salim. Sound, masculine, plural. This group has una as the rough ending. Yani mean? It has wow as the sign that it is marfu'an. And it has ina as the nasb and jar ending. Yani when it's mansub or majrur. Ina. Okay, so for example, you have muslimuna or muslimina. Muslimuna and Muslimina. Okay? This is for what? The sound masculine plural. It has two secondary indications. It has wow, like in Muslimuna, if it's marfoon, and it has ya, if it's either mansoor or majroor. Both of them, their endings are the same. Muslimina. Okay? So the first example they gave us, Dakhala al-Muslimuna Al-Fasla. The teachers entered the classes, the classrooms. Here, Al-Mudarrisuna is marfu'un. How do we know it's marfu'un? Because the sign that it's marfu'un, if it's a sound masculine plural, is wow. So when you see Al-Mudarrisuna, you know it's marfu'un. If it was Mudarrisina, we say it's not marfu'un. It has to be either mansub or majroor. Okay, second example. Mada sa'altu or ma sa'altu. Ma, I'm sorry. Yani ma nafia. Ma sa'altu al mudarrisina. I did not ask the teachers. Here, al mudarrisina is mansub. Why is it mansub? Why? Why? Because the maf'ulun bi, it's the object of the verb sa'altu, sa'altu mudarrisina. Maf'ulun bi is mansub. And the sign that is mansub is ya, because what? Jam mudhakkar salim. Jam mudhakkar salim. The sign of it being mansub or majrur is ya. Third example, aina Ghurfatul Mudarrisina. Where's the teacher's room? Or the room of the teachers? Here, Mudarrisina is Majroor. Why is it Majroor? Because Mudafun Ilay, to Ghurfa. Mudafun Ilay, and Mudafun Ilay is always Majroor. The sign that is Majroor here is Ya, secondary sign for sound masculine plurals. Note that the Nasb Mansub ending is the same as the Jar Majroor ending in this group. Yani the sound masculine plural, when it's Mansub and Majroor, the ending is the same. The sign that is Mansub Majroor is Ya, and this is the secondary sign for sound masculine plurals. If it's Mansub or Majroor, it has Ya, and if it is Marfu, and it has what? Wow. The Noon of Una, yani in Mudarrisuna, or of Ina in Mudarrisina is omitted. The Noon from Mudarrisuna or Mudarrisina is omitted. It is deleted if the noun happens to be Mudafun. Yani if this sound masculine plural is in the first part of Idafa construction, the Mudafun, when it's connected to something in Idafa, something connected to Mudafun Ilayhi, the Noon is deleted. The Noon is deleted. Naam. And this is similar to the Noon from the Tanween being deleted from normal nouns, right? If you take a normal noun like Kitabun, and you want to say Kitabun Muhammadun, Muhammadin, you don't leave the Noon from the Tanween. The vowel Dhamma remains, but the Noon is deleted, and you say what? Kitabu Muhammadin. So in the same way that normal nouns, the Noon from the Tanween is deleted when it's in Idalfa, so the same way the sound, masculine plural, when it is in Idalfa, when it is the Mudalfun, the Noon is deleted whenever it is the Mudalf. So for example, we have an example of it being Marfoon. We have Aina Mudarrisu Al-Qur'ani. Originally Mudarrisu should be what? Mudarrisuna. But because it's the Mudalfun connected to the word Al-Qur'an, so the Noon is deleted, so you say Aina Mudarrisul Qur'ani. And also, this Mudarrisu, it is pronounced as though the waw is not there. Why is that? Why are we saying Mudarrisul Qur'an as though it's just Dhamma without waw? Huh? Jazakallah khair. Now I have to learn your name today for sure after that answer. Ismail? I got it then. Tayyib. Because of Iltiqa Sakinain. Whenever you have a long vowel, followed by Hamza Til Wasl, you can't have two sakins following each other, so the long vowel is pronounced as a short vowel. Whenever you have a long vowel in any word, followed by Hamza Til Wasl, because Hamza Til Wasl is always using a word that originally begins with a sakin letter. The only reason why you need Hamza Tawassul because the word begins with sukoon. You can't begin a word in Arabic with sukoon, so they add Hamza Tawassul. So if that Hamza Tawassul is preceded by something, then it just connects what's before it to what's after it. So therefore, when you have one sakin before it, and then the sakin that comes after Hamza Tawassul, naturally, this is a problem. So we pronounce it as though it is just a single vowel. Even though you write it, and you write the wow, the long vowel, but it's not pronounced. Even if it's wow or aleph or ya, that long vowel is not pronounced long. Aina mudarrisul Qur'ani? Where are the Qur'an teachers? Literally, teachers of the Qur'an. Okay, second example, huh? Yeah. Naam. Inshallah, I hope I can give you a quick answer. From the context, there are lots of words that are pronounced the same way in speech that you don't recognize in speech so easily. But from the context, you can only know from the context. Yani from the context of the speech. If you are not reading, you're just listening, you know from the context of the speech. To the lamb, you connect it, naam. You do connect it, you must connect it, naam. I mean, if you keep reading, you have to connect it, naam. Aina mudarrisul Qur'ani. We are the teachers of Quran. Okay, that's when it's marfu. When it's mansub, أَرَأَيْتَ مُدَرِّسِ الْقُرْآنِ مُدَرِّسِ الْقُرْآنِ. Did you see the Quran teachers or the teachers of Quran? In this case, يعني مُدَرِّسِ, originally it should be what? مُدَرِّسِينَ. But the noon is deleted because of إضافة, because it's the مُضَافٌ. And we say that the sign, or what is the إعراب of مُدَرِّسِ anyway? مَفُولٌ بِ Mansub, and the sign that is Mansub is? Yeah, because it is Jam Mudhakkar Salam. You will learn more about the omission of the noon in lesson 9. Yani this topic of the omission of the noon from the sound masculine plural will be discussed in detail in lesson 9. Okay, the last matter of these five matters, or these groups, I should say, of nouns, these groups of nouns that have secondary indications of their I'rab, the last of them is the dual, al-muthanna. The dual takes ani as the raf ending when it's marfu'un, and aini as the nasb and jar ending when it is mansub wa majrur. For example, aja'a al-mudarrisan, aja'a al-mudarrisani al-jadidani, aja'a al-mudarrisani al-jadidani, have the two new teachers come. Al-mudarrisani, yani this word in this particular case, it is a muthanna word, and therefore in this sentence when we do the i'rab of it, ajaa al-mudarrisani, we say that al-mudarrisani is what? It is marfu'un because it's the fa'il. It's the fa'il, marfu'un, and the sign that it is marfu'un is alif, because alif is the secondary sign for a noun that is marfu'un if it is muthanna. If it is a dual noun and it is marfu'un, the sign that is marfu'un is alif. Alright, so in this case we see that al-mudarrisani, which is the fa'il, is marfu'un, the sign that is marfu'un is alif. Ara'ayta al-mudarrisaini al-jadidaini. Did you see the two new teachers? In this sentence, al-mudarrisaini is the mafulun bi mansub. The sign that is mansub is what? Yeah. The sign that is mansub is yeah, because it is muthanna. And the last example, as'alu an al-mudarrisaini al-jadidaini. I'm asking about the two new teachers. Al-mudarrisaini here in this sentence is i'rab is what? Ism majrur. The sign that it is majrur is yeah, because it is al-muthanna. So here we see that when the muthanna is mansub and when it is majrur, the sign, its sign of its yani i'rab is the same. It is ya preceded by fatha, as opposed to ya preceded by kasra, because the same ya is the sign of jar and nasb for the sound masculine plural. But that ya in the sound masculine plural is preceded by kasra. And this ya in the dual is preceded by fatha. So pay attention, pay attention. The same ya that indicates that it's mansub and majrur is the same ya for dual and sound masculine plurals. But in the sound masculine plurals, that ya is preceded by kasra, and in the duals is preceded by fatha. Alright? Otherwise, and if you don't read carefully, you might read muslimaini for muslimina. If you read muslimaini for muslimina, then you have changed the meaning. Because muslimaini is dual, and muslimina is plural. Naam. Alright. The last one. As'alu an al-mudarrisaini al-jadidaini. An is a preposition. Naam. So al-mudarrisaini is majrur. The sign is majrur is ya, because it is muthanna. The noon of ani and aini is omitted if the noun happens to be mudhafun. For example, aina tadrusu ukhta bilalin. Ukhta originally should be what? Ukhtani. The dual of ukht, ukhtani. But because it is mudhaf, the nun is deleted in the same way that the nun was deleted in the sound masculine plurals. Same thing. Where are Bilal's two sisters studying? Aina tadrusu ukhta, yani ukhtan Bilal, ukhta Bilalin. Mudawfun mudawfun ilayh. Okay, last two sentences. Wallahu musta'an. Page, I don't know what page this is, 5? Top of the page. Ata'arifina ukhtay Bilalin. Do you know Bilal's two sisters? Ata'arifina ukhtay Bilalin. Do you know Bilal's two sisters? Here we see ukhtay is originally uktaini, because it's what? Mansoob. Mafulun bi mansoob. Uktaini became uktay with the noon being deleted because it is mudawfun. And the last example, akatabta ila uktay Bilalin. Did you write to Bilal's two sisters? Uktay here again originally is uktain. And the noon is deleted because it's mudawfun. And the i'rab of uktay in this sentence is ism majroor because of the preposition ila, ism majroor. Sign that it's majroor is ya because it is muthanna. You will learn more about the omission of noon in lesson 9 as we mentioned previously. Okay, any questions about this? These five matters? Any question about these five matters? Which five matters are we talking about? We're talking about five groups of nouns that have secondary endings other than fatha, kasra, and dhamma. Five groups of nouns that have secondary endings other than fatha, kasra, and dhamma. What are these five groups? One of them, anybody, any one of them. Huh? Jam, mu'annath salim, and another one? Mamnu' min al-sarf, asma' al-khamsa, jam mudhakkar salim. And what? Muthanna. Did we name all of them?
No.
Okay. Seems like we only named 4. Okay. All right. Sorry. Allahu musta'an. Can somebody... His batteries are dead. Give me some batteries from over there. Is there a set of batteries there? Huh? Yeah, those right there. Jazakallah khair. Let's not get them mixed up. Give me these, and you can take these. Put them back in and plug it in for me, please. Jazakallah khair. I hope these have been charged. Because this would be unfair. Naam, alhamdulillah, I'm sorry. Because I might not be talking loud enough for the sisters to hear the class without this microphone. I didn't realize that the batteries have went dead. Normally they should recharge them before the class, but I don't know if they did replace them. All right, so those are the five matters. It's very important to understand them. There's one more thing that I had wanted to cover today, but Allahu A'lam... if you young men have the energy to proceed. How much time do we have for that then? 20 minutes? Okay, I don't know if you have the energy to proceed, but in any case, I'll assume that all of you are younger than me. Naam. I'll assume that all of you are younger than... Oh no, Abdul Karim. You give us a pass? Okay, naam. Oh, you have to head out? Okay. You're excused then, no problem. Alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allah khair. Alright, so brothers, before you leave though, yani try to go over the material that we covered today and look at the next part of the key, yani that deals with the al-i'rab al-takdiri. This is a very important subject, al-i'rab al-takdiri. Yani, what we will do today, yani for the, yani in consideration of our brothers, is we will stop here at this point. We will not end the class, but we'll stop here. And we'll go over, yani, some review of some of the matters, inshallah. So that, yani, the brothers have come from far. They are not in this neighborhood. So, alhamdulillah, yani, they have to, you know, get out. So, inshallah, you brothers have a safe journey to wherever you're going. And next week, we're going to start here at this point. The I'rab al-Taqdiri. I'rab al-Taqdiri. Tayyib. But those others who don't have to leave, you are not excused. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.